Pastor and the family, they still on vacation, but, you know, they doing well, man, they doing well. They sent us a pic. They just wanted to show y'all they still alive and well. There they go. They had the Black Wall Street Memorial. Y'all remember when Pastor taught on that, right? The city that was destroyed by air, the only city. And so they went check it out, man. So look, praise God. Hope to see him soon. All right, give the Lord some glory for that. All right, Pastor. All right, y'all, let me go ahead and read the text. Deuteronomy 10:17. For the Lord your God is God of gods, the Lord of lords, a great God, and mighty, and a terrible, which regardeth not the persons, nor taketh reward. Heavenly Father, just come to you in Jesus' name, asking that you would fill me up with your power, Lord. Fill me up with your anointing, break the yokes, Lord. Pray that you would save the lost in here, edify the saints. Pray that you would be glorified, Lord, at the end of tonight. Pray that you would do it for your name's sake and for your glory. Use me, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. All right, guys, the title of this message is Respect of a Person, also partiality, or you could call it favoritism. It's all the same thing. They all synonyms. So respect of a person, partiality, or favoritism, you're going to hear me use it interchangeably throughout the message. So just so y'all know, it's all the same thing. All right, guys, for those of y'all who don't know, I want to tell y'all what respect of a person is. Respect of a person is when you show personal favoritism to someone based on external, superficial preferences and not internal godliness or character. Y'all got that? It's when you show personal favoritism or preference based on externals or superficial things, things that don't have anything to do with godliness or with the law. Now, one side note I want to say before I start this message. I'm going to be talking about respect of a person, but I'm not talking about giving honor where honor is due. The Bible says you give honor where honor is due. And the Bible says the men of God who labor in the word, like our pastor, they wear their double honor. So this message, when I'm talking about personal favoritism, we're not talking about that. So just to look, get it out of the way right now. It's not what we're talking about. The Bible also says in Leviticus that when you see an older man, you need to stand up and you can honor him and shake his hand, not to sit down when he comes in. So the Bible says you should honor people, guys. I'm not talking about making a difference where the Bible says it's okay. I might sit down and shake a younger man's hand, but I might stand up and shake my pastor's hand. That's not favoritism. That's just giving honor where honor is due. The Bible says that's all right. So listen, that's not what I'm talking about. We literally just get it out of the way because it's going to be in the back of some of y'all minds, so I'm just saying now. We're not talking about giving honor where honor is due. We're talking about personal preferences, favoritism for ungodly things or things that's not according to the inward man. That's what we're talking about. Y'all got it? So as we move forward, have that on your mind, all right? All right, guys, now that we got that out of the way, I named this message Respect of a Person, and as you can see in the text, it says that our God is not a respecter of persons, or God does not have any favorites. He doesn't show favoritism. He is not partial. He's impartial. And I just want to show you my first point. I just really want to bring to you that God does not respect the persons of men. 2 Chronicles 19:7, the B part of the scripture, it says, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respecters of persons, nor taking of gifts. That means taking of bribes. God don't take bribes. Romans 2:11, in the New Testament now, it says, for there is no respecter of persons with God. That's what the Bible said. And so why would God not be a respecter of persons? I mean, that's easy. People show partiality usually because they need something from other people. God don't need nothing from nobody, y'all. He don't need nothing from nobody. That's why God not respect a person. God own everything, man. The Bible said, who has given me anything that I need to pay back? Everything under heaven is mine, the Lord said. I don't need your money. It's all for me. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He don't need anything from anybody. He ain't going to need no favors. He ain't going to need you to help him, save him. He don't need your advice. The Bible said, who has given him counsel? He don't need anything from anybody. That's why the Lord is impartial. What can you do for him? The Bible says he is self-sufficient. Everything he had need is within himself. Oh, yeah, he's self-existent, man. He's self-existent. He don't need us. But yet, we and the rest of creation can know him, glorify him, and bring him joy. But he's self-existent. He don't need us for anything. That's why he impartial. He don't show no favoritism because he really don't need us like that, y'all. But he desires and longs to have fellowship and a relationship with us. We see that God is impartial when we just look at Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 2. Y'all know that wonderful part of y'all Bible? The genealogies? You know that's your favorite part to read before y'all go to sleep. So it shows right here that God is not a respecter of persons. When you look at when God became a man in the form of Jesus Christ, when you look at the caliber of people he came through, you can see he's not a respecter of persons. The Bible says Abraham begot Isaac. Well, what was Abraham doing when he was in earth? What he was doing? He was bowing down to them what? To them idols, man. Abraham was an idolater, and the Lord come through Abraham's lineage. He begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob was a trickster, stole his brother's birthright. But the Lord came through Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah. Now, Judah slept with his son's wife after his son died, and they had twins, and it was an incest relationship. And when you go to the next verse, after Judah was begot, Judah begot Perez, and that's from his daughter-in-law Tamar. And Christ came through this lineage. Christ didn't say, nah, they're not good enough for me to come through. He said, no, man, I got to come through some kings or some queens, which he came through some kings too. But he didn't say, these people are not good enough for me to come through. They can't be in my lineage. Even though he the king of glory, he not partial. And then after this, you can see down the line when you read, you know, David. Y'all know what David just did. We just studied that in Bible study. David killed a man, slept with his wife. Solomon had many women, but he still came through the lineage. You also see that God is not a respecter of person when you look at where he was born. Christ, the King of Kings, we just read, a great God, mighty God, and he was born in Bethlehem. The Bible said, though it be small and little, Ephratah is where he was born, Bethlehem. And then where in Bethlehem was he born? He was born in a castle? In a palace? He was born in a manger with the animals. He wasn't born in a place where a king of glory would be born. He impartial. When you look at where Jesus lived, where did Jesus live, y'all? Anybody know? Where he grew up? He grew up in Nazareth. 30 years. Now, when they was talking about Nazareth, what they said about Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, a lot of y'all don't know the Nazareth of the Bible days would be like Truman vs. McComb. Jesus grew up in the hood, Nazareth, and he lived there for 30 years. Up in Nazareth, man. He didn't have to be born there. He know everything. He made the earth. He could have been born in River Ranch. But he said, I'm going to be born up in Nazareth, man. Where's hood at? Yeah, man, I'm trying to tell you, man. He wasn't respect of a person. The places that Jesus even preached were places that the Pharisees wouldn't go and preach. Jesus preached up in Galilee. He preached up in Nazareth. He preached all over. Places the Pharisees said they got sinners there. We ain't going over that. But like Minister Duck was saying Sunday, man, you know, he gave y'all the list. And God is impartial, man. He go preach in the hood. He go preach in the prisons. He go preach wherever he got to go. God not concerned about it. He preached the thief, prostitute. You know, look, he preached wherever. God is impartial, man. The Bible says in the book of Job 34:19, he shows no partiality to princes, nor regarded the rich above the poor, for they are all the work of his hands. I want to talk about an area where God does not respect a person in. And the first area I want to talk about the fact he's not a respected person in judgment. Somebody say judgment. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. You can give it to me in the NLT. It says, and remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. He say, remember, man, he don't have no favorites. Better watch what you do, man. Don't think you could do that. No, the Lord gonna let me slide. You know, me and him got something going on. He said, watch what you do, man. He let David slide? All right. You was here a few weeks ago, took David's child. And look, he come through David, and David couldn't slide. So who are you to slide? God not partial in judgment, man? Oh, no, with a man, so he gonna reap. Okay, who you? Some people, they on their high horse, they think that they untouchable. God can't touch them. Oh, man, no matter where you at, God will reach you, man. Tommy Hearns up in this ring of life. You're always in the ring. Boom, bah, look. So anyway, let's see. When you look at God's most, you know, prestige prophets in the Bible, you see he don't show no partiality. Look at Moses. Moses disobeyed God, smote the rock, got upset. Was Moses able to go into the promised land right away? Not in the whole Old Testament. Couldn't go in the promised land. And this Moses, the lawgiver, the giver of the first covenant, man. Moses, you're my man and everything, but you can't go in the promised land. You can't go in, Moses. And then he said, but Lord, let me go in. He said, Moses, don't even ask me that no more. I said, you can't go in. Y'all, if you read your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. He told Moses, don't ask me that again. You can't go, man. Now hush it up. It's over. Next, we look at David. Well, I gave y'all David already, but y'all know he got with David. Samson. Samson, the Lord's anointed. He anointed him to be a judge over Israel. Samson have supernatural strength. He the real Superman. Samson messing with them strange women. Got caught up. Disobeyed God. They cut his hair off. Now, where Samson end up? Bald, blind, in the Philistine camp, grinding meal. Now, the Lord merciful and gracious, so he what? The hair grew back, right? And the Lord forgave him. But at the same time, howbeit, still had to pay for that. Samson died premature. God is not partial. I don't care if you're Samson. He was anointed by the Holy Ghost. Slayed nothing but the men. You ever did that? So don't think God gonna play with you. He didn't play with Samson. God is not partial whenever it comes to whole nations, y'all. Whole nations concerning sin and judgment. There was a nation called Sodom and Gomorrah. They was cutting up. Cutting up. Homosexuality running rampant. Sin running rampant. Only had a few righteous people in the whole city. And what did God do to it? He destroyed it. Huh. Wow. Turn to Jeremiah 5:29 for me, please. Not y'all, sound booth. 5:29. So guys, if you got a nation full of wickedness, full of sin, everybody doing what they see right in their own eyes, God destroyed it with Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, the Bible says all these things were written for an example to us, right? Okay. So if he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, then if we look back in Noah's day, the whole world was cutting up. You know, they must have said, well, he ain't going to kill us all, y'all. Come on. You know how y'all beat, man. Look, we're going to run up in there. He can't beat all of us. We're going to jump. Let's just jump. Sit down, man. So they must have thought that about the Lord. They must have thought that about the Lord. He ain't going to kill us all. He wouldn't do that. They don't know their Bible. Well, they didn't have a Bible back then. And look, that's even more scary. They didn't even have a Bible. And what he did? Destroyed the whole thing. Flood the whole thing. God not respect a person. He said, if I only got to save Noah and eight others, that's the only ones I'm saved. Taking the rest of y'all out. I gave y'all 120 years to repent, man. 120 years? But they was clowning Noah, man. They was clowning. So he wasn't respect a person with the flood. But now look at what the Bible said right here. Israel was cutting up. His chosen people. Cutting up. He said, should I not punish them for this? They were sinning. Spewing false doctrine, sacrificing their kids to Molech. They was in all kind of wickedness, lasciviousness, lust, just sin running rampant, y'all. Doing whatever they want. Forgetting the law of God, not obeying God. Should not I punish them for this, says the Lord? Should I not avenge myself against such a nation? So let me ask you. if you read your Bible, you see God coming down on his own people, destroying his own inheritance, scattering his own people. So what you think he gonna do to a nation like America that got all kind of other people, not just his people? You think all because Christians here and his people here, he not gonna do it? He did it to Israel. He said, I'm gonna send Nebuchadnezzar, my servant, to bring y'all into bondage for y'all sins. God not partial. He said, I'm gonna move on the heart of the king of Assyria and he gonna bring y'all captive. He put the curses in Deuteronomy 28. The devil never put that in the Bible. God did that. So you think America could legalize homosexuality, legalize murdering of children, legalize everything God hate? And he say, I'm not going to judge such a nation? Man, when you read this whole chapter, he say the prophets prophesied lies. They say nothing going to happen. Nothing going to happen. It's all good. God merciful. It's all good. The Bible say God is long-suffering, not forever suffering. Just remember that. I'm telling you, man. Remember that. He say, my spirit not going to always chase after man. After a while, man, you running after somebody, tell them, turn. Lord say, it's good. He give you over to a reprobate mind, Romans 1 says, and allow you to do those things you shouldn't do. Men working with men was unseemly. But yeah, let's talk about it. Leviticus 18:20, since I was going there anyway. God does not respect a person with any sins, y'all. He don't care what it is. Certain people don't like to talk about certain sins, you know, because whatever reason, but God not. Leviticus 18:20, moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. He talking about adultery. God saying, don't commit adultery. I'm the Lord, man. I don't care if everybody else doing it. They say, well, no, he not committing adultery. He having an affair. Boy, it's the same thing, boy. That's the same thing. You know, like when people be in jail. Yeah, I was incarcerated. Man, you was in jail, man. So they try to make it sound like you was somewhere fancy. So they try to cover it up and say they having an affair. Man, you committing adultery, man. And God say, it's sin. Next verse. It says, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fires of Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord thy God. He said, don't kill your children. Pastor was talking about that, abortion. He said, don't do it. He's talking about adultery. That's running rampant. Everybody doing that. It's like people ain't even married around here. I'm serious, man. People find out their spouse cheating, they just go cheat too. Oh, well. It's nuts. And now he's saying, don't kill your children. We killing them left and right in America and expect no judgment to happen when this is clearly against the scriptures, yo. It's clearly against the scriptures, man. Clearly. But now look, next verse. It ain't over. God keep taking it higher. Adultery, killing your children. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Man. So God saying no homosexuality. He said don't lie with a man like you would lie with a woman. And Romans 1 says the same thing, men working with men in the New Testament, that which is unseemly. He said, this is not the way we're supposed to live. Now, the president legalized it. Now, he say he a Christian, but he say it's all good. But when y'all see the Bible say it's wrong, you call that hypocrisy. That's what the Bible call that. But all because men legalize it, y'all, that don't mean it's right in the eyes of God. They can legalize what they want. This is a higher law we got to appeal to. So they can legalize what they want. But don't expect God to be with your nation is what I'm saying. It's only by his grace we still stand. So next verse, y'all. He said homosexuality is a sin. Neither shall thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down therein. It is confusion, man. He said no bestiality. I don't think we got that problem too much around here. I don't know. They like them trail rides, though. I don't know. We got to see, man. Catch around them stables, man. You better look. Don't let Phil catch you in his chicken. What you say, Phil? Man, listen. No, but look, y'all climbing, man. Listen, man, this is in the Bible. People been doing this. This is real, yeah, man. This is real, man. Y'all probably, everybody knows somebody in their family that done caught by them stables. Listen, man. The Bible says this is sin. And look, you know what? Y'all listen, y'all laughing, but look, I wouldn't be shocked if somebody come on the news and they say this woman is in love with this horse or with this cow. And them boy want to marry Mr. Ed, they want to marry Betsy. And look, they probably going to legalize and everything. No, I'm serious, y'all. They doing it with the homosexuals. They trying to push the pedophilia marriages. Man, the next thing you know, them boys gonna be marrying animals, man. I'm telling you, man. But God says it's a sin. Now watch. Watch in a couple of years, but watch. Watch. Y'all gonna say, oh, brother, say it then. God don't have that in the Bible for nothing, now, y'all. He said, but you see, look, I'm giving you the escalation of sin. Adultery, homosexuality. Then I want to have y'all, the devil said, I want to have y'all messing with animals out here, really looking crazy. Walking around talking about you married to that. Come on, man. Oh, yeah, that's my heifer. No, my heifer for real. Like, that's my, but, like, the boy really. Man, it's crazy, huh? Boy, y'all crazy, man. Anyway, heifer is in the Bible. Anyway, yeah, let's keep going. Let's keep going. So, James chapter 2, verse 10. Let's go to the New Testament. That Old Testament is something else, boy. He take you deep. James chapter 2, verse 10. Look what the Bible says. Because a lot of people, they say, well, I'm not committing homosexuality. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not sleeping with no animals for sure. So I'm good. James 2:10 says, for whosoever, keep the whole law and yet offend, meaning break one point, he is guilty of all. That's what the scriptures say. Now listen, it's not saying you done them all. Well, since I lied, I might as well go do everything else. No, that's not what it's saying. He's saying, if you read a modern translation, whosoever has broken one, you have broken the same law from the same God. Watch, go to the next verse. He's saying if you broke one, you're just as guilty as somebody else who broke any of the others. That's what the scripture is saying. We got 2:11. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now look, he's getting practical on you. Look. So if you do not commit adultery, yet you're killing people, thou art become a transgressor of the law. And y'all know that's how we is. Y'all know that movie y'all used to watch? With that boy. Now look, I don't watch that no more. No, I just remember. That movie I used to watch with that boy Ezell, man. He gave that boy back his knife. He said, I steal, I don't kill. And then he walk away like that's good or something. Now y'all remember that. Y'all laugh. Y'all like, yeah, that's true. I steal, but I ain't gonna kill nobody. Hey, man, you still sinning, man. You still sinning, man. The same God said don't steal, same one said don't kill. It's the same, you breaking the same commandments of the same God. Well, I steal, but I don't kill. No, listen, y'all, we got a problem. Because God is impartial, but we judge and categorize sin. Now listen, all sin's not the same as far as the detestability of it. Somebody who lied into somebody who sleeping with children, of course, that's different. We know. But at the same time, all sin has the same wage attached to it, which is death. Seven sins are abomination to the Lord. Yeah, we know that. But that don't mean you're better than somebody. That's self-righteousness right there. That's another sin if you're looking down on another sinner. Well, yeah, I lie, but I ain't sleeping with no man or nothing. Man, I'm telling you, ain't that the truth? Man, well, I'm going to get into it a little later, but look, be showing partiality with them sins, man. Like, we act like if a dude sleeping with women, oh, it's all good. He ain't that bad. But if a dude sleeping with some dudes, oh, that's the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. It's over, man. What's wrong with that dude? Ugh. Oh, because we wouldn't do it, that don't mean it's not a sin that somebody's struggling with. You see what I'm saying? And so you can't be impartial like that. God said, if you broke this one, you done broke them all, baby. You done broke them all. So we all on the same level with God as far as in what we deserve. Death. That's what it is. God is impartial. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Let me show you. I just want to show it to you, man. God, he don't care what it is, to be real. He impartial in sin and judgment. 1 Corinthians 6:9, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, y'all. Know ye not. He said, you didn't know that the unrighteous shall not, somebody say shall not, inherit the kingdom of God. God is making it clear for us. He don't want nobody to be deceived. He said, didn't you know? The unrighteous people who live in an unrighteous lifestyle habitually can't get into the kingdom of God. Look what he say next. Be not deceived. That means don't be tricked. Don't be fooled at what they tell you on TV. Oh, it's all right. You got Christian pastors and all these bars, Rob Bell and them, saying, oh, it's okay. Priests saying, oh, it's all right. Homosexual, it's good. He said, be not deceived, man. Who you going to believe, a man who going to lie for a piece of bread, or you going to believe the word of God? I mean, you know, come on. So he says, be not deceived, neither fornicators. Now listen, I want y'all to notice as we go through all these sins, they categorize what? Together. He don't have one sin right here, then the rest all over here. They all together, because God not impartial. He don't show favors with the sins. Neither fornication nor idolatry. You know, you bowing to statues, you worshiping anything over the Lord your God. Nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that's the homosexuals, or the lesbians, because it's the women too. It ain't just the men. Women with women. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, next verse. Nor thieves, I think is about to say. Yeah, nor thieves. Nor, see, he got the thieves with the, you see it? Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Because God is impartial, y'all. He is impartial. He impartial in judgment so much that no matter where sin is, he got to deal with it. The Bible says God is holy. Holy. He got pure eyes to even behold iniquity. So the fact that God is impartial, this is something that even Satan knew. You got to follow me now. Satan said, man, God, holy, man, you don't show no favors. I was second in command up in heaven, man. Iniquity was found in me, and he kicked me out of heaven. Now I'm over here on earth. Well, look, he got some children over there, Adam and Eve, huh? I mean, if I could get them to sin like me, since God not a respecter of person, I'm going to hell. And if I could get them to sin like me, God not, she ain't showing no faith, they're going to have to go to hell too. Huh? Let me get them to eat from the forbidden tree. Oh, I got it. He used God's attribute of being impartial to work against God's creation. But you see, that's what happened when you know the law, though. Satan wicked, yeah, but he know the law, yeah. He know the law. So he used that against Adam and Eve. They sinned against the law. Boom, we all born sinners on our way to hell. But you know, even though God is impartial with sin, he threw a curveball at Satan. Because Jesus Christ came down. And he lived that sinless life we couldn't live. Now God is impartial. He has to judge sin. And this is how impartial he is. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21 from the sound booth. The Bible says that God don't care who you are. If sin on you, he's taking you out. You could be the chief angel, Lucifer. You could be David. You could be Solomon. You could be Samson. You could be Moses. If you're sinning, I got to judge you. And I got to deal with it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Talking about Jesus Christ, Yahshua. That we might be made the righteousness of God. Next verse. You got the next verse? The Bible basically says this. That even though we sin, Jesus Christ never became a sinner on the cross, guys. That's not what it's teaching. It's teaching that he took the penalty for all of our sins, even though he was guilty of the sins. He was our sacrifice. He took our place. He was our substitute. And God is so impartial that even if sin is on his only begotten son, who the Father loveth the Son, the Bible says. The Father loveth the Son and has shown him all things. But God is so impartial, no favorites, that even when sin is on the Son who was in the beginning with God, when sin is on him, Isaiah 53 saying it pleased the Lord to crush. Even if sin is on the only begotten Son, God got to judge. That's what the cross was, man. God is impartial. Jesus knew that. He said, if I take their sins upon me, God going to crush me. That's what he was sweating blood for in the garden. Because he know the Father is impartial. God the Father. God the Son is impartial as well, and the Holy Spirit. The Godhead is impartial. And Jesus Christ went to the cross for my sins, for your sins, for the sins of the whole world, and took the wrath of God, knowing God was impartial. So if God would let the wrath come down on his only begotten son because he had sin on him, those of you who are not saved in here, what you think he's going to do with you? Now, God give us a way out, now. My next point, you could go back to 1 Corinthians 6:11. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Even though he impartial in judgment, he is also impartial in salvation. Let's talk about it. It says, yeah, be not deceived. The list I just read to you, not go inherit the kingdom. Fornicators, thieves, homosexuals, liars, extortionists. They can't get into the kingdom if you live in a lifestyle like this, unrepentant, not coming to Jesus Christ for forgiveness, no turning. The next verse says, and such were some of you. So that big list I get, he says, such were some of you. Everything that was on that list, all of us done one of them, correct? Was there anybody who never did something on that list? Stand up, please. That's security back there, y'all. He ain't standing up. All right. I'm about to say, man, look. Come on, man. And so he said, such were some of you. So is hope, y'all. The Lord is impartial with sin and judgment. He'll judge you if he got to anybody. But at the same time, he'll save anybody, yeah, man. The Lord will save anybody, man. He'll save anybody who come to the Christ. You got to come to Christ. He says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He said, by Jesus Christ, you've been forgiven. You've been washed away from your sins, been washed away. God is impartial with forgiveness. He'll forgive anyone who comes through Jesus Christ, but he the only way. Can't come through me. Can't come through nobody else, man. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man get to the Father but by me. That's what you got to come through. Now listen to you. You can believe TV if you want, but you know they lying. You know they lying. So I'm trying to show you what the Lord say. What does say the Lord? So y'all, he impartial with salvation. We see that because God saved a man named Paul, who used to persecute the church. He was killing Christians, dragging them in the court, but the Lord saved. The Lord saved the woman who was shacking up. Anybody shacking up tonight? No, don't say nothing. He met her at the well. He met her at the well. He said, you've been with all these men, and the man who had the house right now, he ain't your husband either. But listen, I'm not here to condemn you tonight, now. When Jesus met her at the well, he told her now that even though you're shacking right now, I got a better way for you. And he said, I am the better way, man. He said, you come to me and you're going to be satisfied. You ain't going to be depending on that man or that woman to satisfy you. You're going to drink from this well, you ain't going to never thirst again. Because I satisfy the lawn and the side. You need me. That's what he said. That's where the James got that from. I'm trying to tell you. So he'll save you even if you're shacking up, man. Look, we all, not everybody been there, but you know, a lot of us in there been there before. We're not better than you. But so if you're shacking, man, look, the Lord will save you. Because most of the time, if you're shacking, we usually fornicate. I mean, I'm just praise no confidence in the flesh. That's what the Bible says. And a man think he's staying, he's going to fall. You're not avoiding the appearance of evil. You going in that house. He going in that house. The sun going down. The sun coming up. The people see you come out, him come out, different clothes on. They know you ain't married. You're not avoiding the appearance of evil. Just look, that's what it is. Now, you can say you ain't doing nothing if you want. But don't add another sin line up in here now. Just don't say nothing now. Y'all got a child and everything now, but nothing happened. Come on, man. But look, the Lord will save you, man. The Lord will save you. It's all good. It's all good. Most of us been there. Can I get an amen? All right. So the woman who was shacking at the well, he saved her. The woman caught in adultery, caught her in the act. Threw her out there. Jesus forgave her. On the spot. She probably thought he was about to condemn her. Because y'all, even though God is holy, the Lord is merciful, the scriptures say. They say he's merciful, man. So, if you're in adultery, or if you recently committed adultery, or ever have committed adultery, and I don't mean just the physical act. The Bible say, if you look at a woman to lust after in your heart, you'd have committed adultery in your heart. And you might not have done the act physically, but you lusting with all kind of people, wife. Them superstars married? Yeah, them people you're looking at on TV? That's adultery, man. Beyonce married? Not, I don't agree with her selection, but I'm just saying she married. But it's just to say, whoever it is. Ladies, too. Them brothers married. I don't know their names. But them brothers married. I don't know if Morris Chestnut married. I don't know if Tyrese married. I don't think Trey Songz married. But look, some of them brothers married who you're looking at on TV. And so look, the Lord will forgive you, man. He'll save you committing that adultery in front of that TV. You understand? He'll save you. Let me see. He'll save the tax collector, man. He saved Matthew, the tax collector, said, look, come follow me. The tax collector was somebody who was making a living off the suffering of his people. The Romans was taxing the Jews, and he was collecting from his own people. Kind of like when y'all see the slave movies, y'all see a slave whipping the other slave. He working for the people. That's what the tax collector was like. And so it's kind of like our modern day hustler, our drug dealer. They profiting off the destruction of their own people or the bondage of their own people. And if you're hustling, the Lord will save you too, man. The Lord is not a respected person. I don't care what the other people tell you. Your kind don't belong here. Jesus said, I come for sinners. It's the sick that need the physician. And look, he wants you to come. Why are you still hustling? Just come. Why are you still shacked up? Come. Why are you still in adultery? Come. He'll save the drunk. Why are you still drunk? Stag on up in here and sit down. You understand? Oh, yeah, man, I'm serious. Because you're never going to get off unless you come as you are. But, man, look, people say, I'm going to come when I'm ready. Man, you ain't going to never be ready. You got to come when you're not ready, man. Come when you're not ready, man. Come when you're not ready. Because you ain't going to never be ready without the Lord. You don't go to the doctor when you're healed. Hey, y'all, just want to let you know. I'm feeling good, doc. Oh, no, man. You go when you throwing up, hurt. Oh, I don't know what's wrong. That's when you go. When you tore up. You don't have time to do your hair and get cute. Man, don't worry about no outfit to come to church. Man, just come, man. You're so more important. I ain't got nothing to wear. Man, look, you ain't got nothing to wear in hell either. You better come on. You're clowning around here, man. Man, I'm trying to keep it serious with you. Better come on, man. Because y'all know y'all be out there witnessing, trying to tell people, you know. Come with all them excuses, man. Look, God will save you no matter what you done, man. I don't care what you did. And I don't care what they tell you. Man, look, you could have had surgery and to turn yourself into a man and you a woman. And it's irreversible. And the Lord will still save you like that. Man, I'm trying to tell you. He'll fix it when he give you your glorified body. I'm trying to tell you. Transvestites, he'll save you too. Will you come? Will you come? Oh, man, I'm trying to tell you. Will you come? Lesbians, homosexuals, he'll save you too. Will you come? Because, y'all, what we got to realize that. What we got to realize, I'm back, is that, y'all, God, he want to forgive them, y'all. Psalms 86:5. And the scriptures say that the church is to compel them to come. But a lot of us not doing that. We shunning them. Not at this particular church, but a lot of places, the church universal, we shunning people who have tattoos or this and that. We showing respect to a person. God said, compel them all to come. Look what Psalms 86:5 say. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. The Bible say, whosoever call on the name of the Lord, he going to save him, man. He say, look, man, he ready to forgive. He waiting for you to come. You know, like when the ball playing baseball and the ball coming to you and you waiting to get? He waiting for you to come. Scoop you up into his arms. He waiting for you, man. He waiting. But you got to come, man. We can't make you come, man. But we encourage you to come. Come. Acts 10:34. Look what the Bible says. Peter talking, and this is after he realized the Gentiles could get saved too. He said, God, he realized God not partial. Look what he said. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, real talk, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That's what the scriptures say, man. He'll save anybody who call upon him in truth. But you got to be willing to turn from your sinful life. You got to be willing to turn from the drug game. You got to be willing to turn from the adultery, from the fornication, from the homosexuality. You got to be willing to leave that alone. And you can't leave it alone without him. Don't say, well, I'm going to leave it alone and then come to church. You can't leave it alone without him. That's the trick. You got to come to him. And even if it's a struggle for a little while, you're going to still have to press through. and the church got to be encouraging. We got to encourage these people, y'all, because the Lord love them. Yeah, man. Listen, man, for example, I'm going to give you an example. All the fellas who got saved and wasn't married and had a girlfriend, you stopped fornicating instantly after you got saved? Don't answer. Just think about it. Instantly? You just stopped fornicating? That's not what happened, man. Y'all know I ain't lying. Y'all quiet, huh? It's just, look, eventually you either ran away from her or married her. That's probably why most of y'all married up in your night. Hey, man, listen, I'm trying to tell you. So listen. I'm just helping y'all out. Listen. So you can't expect people to just change right away. They might be shacked up while they come to church at first yet. But slowly, you know, they'll get saved. Boom. Now they're going back over there, but they saved now. And now when they sin against the Lord, they done grieved the spirit. They tripping. They don't know why they tripping. Now they like, man, I got to get out of here. They start making the plans and preparations to move out. Now you don't see them doing all this. They moving out, doing everything they got to do, or they getting married, whatever. They don't need you coming on them, like condemning them while they trying to press toward the Lord, man. They need you to encourage them while they getting out the situation. Now listen, it's the same thing. I know a lot of us don't deal with this, but it's the same thing with homosexuals. Men who are heterosexual and attracted to women, like most of us are, when you got saved, you never stopped being attracted to every single last woman on the planet. So whenever a homosexual gets saved, they still have to, they might still have to battle and fight against being with women or men. Y'all see what I'm saying? Just like a single brother who a single Christian right now, he ain't married to nobody, he still got to fight off the flesh of wanting to be with women. And it's the same thing with them. Now, as long as they're not saying it's all right, they're embracing it. As long as it's a fight, they're fighting it, they're trying to get off it, you know, and they're serving the law. Like, they know it's a sin, they done denounced it. You know, you could work with that, yeah, man. And you got to encourage that person, not condemn them. It's a difference. Yeah, boy, it's a fine line, yeah. But you don't encourage them. You don't tell them it's all right. It ain't all right, man. But you got to know, man. You got to, you know, I'm just trying to show y'all how to help. How to help, you know what I'm saying? How to help. But, y'all, everybody got somebody in their family. Oh, yeah, man, what you mean? Uncles, aunts, cousins, brother, sister, mama, dad. Oh, yeah, man, y'all know somebody that's been afflicted or affected. So it's the same thing, man. Just like we all got the uncle who think he a player. I mean, I said uncle, I'm sorry. All got the, you know, the person in our family. So, you know. Oh, man. I got a lot. You ain't going to know who I'm talking. All right. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Let's keep it moving. Hey, Mom. Let's keep it going. It says, now remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you to salvation. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they wise. Uh-huh. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. So, y'all, God will use the people who the world say ain't nothing. The hustler, the effeminate, the one who don't have a father or a mother. He'll use that to bring the heathen to know. Look, y'all, he took a boy named David to slay Goliath, man. Goliath was a man of war, man. David come up there, took him out, man. He used some fishermen, ignorant, unlearned men, to run circles around the PhD Pharisees of the religious day. Them boy was killing them brothers in the scriptures. Never been to seminary. But the Bible say we can tell they've been with Jesus Christ. And that's all you need, man. If you got the Lord with you, man, you got the majority. I don't care what seminary you've been to, man. Boys coming out with degrees don't have no anointing. A degree don't make you a preacher of the gospel, no, man. Paul said, I was made a minister of the gospel according to the grace given. But what if the grace ain't given to you for that, but you got a piece of paper? Uh-oh. We got a problem. Oh, yeah, we got a problem. God used those things that people despise, and they say, oh, that ain't nothing. He grew up over here. Oh, that's Northside Lafayette. That ain't nothing. That's what he using, man. That's what he using. He get the glory like that, man. They can't take credit for their name, their lineage, their background, their money. He say, nah, man. When they see it, they know that's the Lord. They know that's the Lord. Oh, yeah, he get all the glory, yo. That's how he like. That's how he like. Next, God is not a respecter of person with his glory. Philippians 2:10, verse 11, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee gonna bow of things in heaven, things in the earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. So as concerning his glory, he don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, atheist, Buddhist, Muslim. He don't care what you is. At the end of this life, concerning the glory of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, he say every knee go bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Man, he ain't partial with his glory. Not just Christians going to worship him. He going to make you bow down. Man, I'm telling you, man, he going to make you bow down. Oh, yeah, man, God not partial with nothing. He not, there's no favoritism. He impartial, man. With his glory, too. He going to make the unbeliever say, what's my name? That's what he going to tell. And they're going to say it. I'm trying to tell you, man. God is not a respecter of person with blessing, y'all. Yeah, I said it. He not a respecter of person with blessing. The Lord will bless one with a house. He'll bless you with a house, too, man. You ain't going to be in that place that you had forever. He blessed one with a car, he'll bless you with a car. He blessed one with a spouse, he'll bless you with a spouse. He got one out of debt, he'll get you out of debt. The Lord got him on fire, he'll get you on fire too. It just depends now, y'all. Now look, he's not partial now. What he do for one, he'll do for the other, yeah. But he not going to do it for you if it's going to hurt you. Because everybody in different levels with their walk now. I'm going to just be real. You want to be on fire like he on fire, but you don't want to give up watching TV and hanging with your worldly friends like he did. He not a respecter of person, no. But you just never did what he did. You see what I'm saying? People want the blessings of Abraham. You believing like Abraham? You willing to put Isaac on the altar like Abraham? And then you want to turn around and blame God. Oh, my God, God, why he not doing me like that? Nah, it ain't him. You the problem. Like Bizzle said, all I can see is we the problem. Look, we the problem. It's not God, no, y'all. You got to check yourself. Because if you know he not a respected person, you see he doing this for that one, you got to examine to see, well, maybe they might just be more godly than me. They might be giving up more stuff. You know, you never know. Or that just might not be the direction he had for you. They might not be more godly than you. That just might not be where he want to take you. You never know, man. But I know he'll bless you. Like Jabez said, bless me indeed, Lord. He knew that the Lord wasn't a respected person. Some of y'all got some things, man, you think God wouldn't do it for me. He loved him more than he loved me. What the scripture say, man? God has no favors. God does not respect the person. If he did it for this one, he'll do it for you. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah, man. I'm trying to tell you. God does not respect a person, guys, even with adversity. Adversity, yeah. Job chapter 2, verse 10. Give it to me in the NASB, please. Christians still go through things, yes, y'all. All because you're a believer, that don't mean you're not going to go through difficult and challenging times. I just got to keep it real with you. God is not a respecter of person or show favoritisms with adversity, none. All because you're one of his children, that don't mean you're not about to go through nothing. We're not a church where we say, come be a Christian, and you're not going to go through nothing no more. As soon as you become a Christian, you're about to start going through some things. Friends don't want to talk to you. Your family tripping on you. Oh, you're going to that church. Oh, now you're holy. Now what? You're changing, man. It's going down as soon as you get saved, Jesus said. Jesus said, narrow is the way. Straight is the gate that leads to salvation. Few find it, y'all. The word narrow in the Greek, it means difficult is the way. Troublesome is the gate. Afflicted is the way that leads to heaven. Few find it. We're not saying that it's going to be easy, man. But it's going to be worth it. Boy, it's going to be worth it. Boy, I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. So, God is not a respected person with trials. You look at Job's life. Job lost his job, his children. All of his children died at one time. His business went bankrupt. Boom. So because you're a Christian, that don't mean you're not going to ever lose your job. No. I done lost a job right after I got saved. You understand? Christians lose their job, man. And it's not because they're in sin, because Job wasn't in sin. His friends was like, oh, yeah, you must be in sin, boy. This happened to you. That wasn't the case, man. You better chill out. Christians lose their job. Christians, children or spouses can perish. You can go through tragedies, man, as a Christian. And the Lord still love you, man. It's not that he against you, but he just not partial, y'all. Even though you're a child of God, you're still going to have to go through some things. Job went through many things that a lot of us haven't gone through. But look what Job said. His wife said, curse God and die, boy. He said, you speak as one of the foolish women. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? Whew, yeah, you don't hear that preach too much. Yeah, you hear that. We're going to just accept the good from God and no adversity? Just good coming my way, God. No adversity. No hurdles I got to pass. None. It's easy breezy, just smooth set. No, man. Job said, look, the Lord give it, he take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's how you got to be, Christian. Because if you think God is impartial, if you think he's partial and he's not going to let you go through nothing because you're believing, you're mistaken, man. You're mistaken. I don't want to set you up for failure. Look at the life of Joseph. Joseph went through all that. All them trials. Daniel. Lion's den. John the Baptist. Beheaded, y'all. He was killed for the faith. He was killed. So look, I'm not here to set you up like, oh, you're gonna get out of it on earth. Killing him on earth, that's not really nothing to a real man of God, just to be real. He knows to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, that's not nothing. You kill me, big deal, man. I'm in glory now. You're helping me out. You understand? So no matter what they do to us, it's all going to work together for our good. The Lord promised that. So even in adversity, you can still rejoice. James was killed by Herod. Peter was crucified upside down. Paul beheaded. John balled in a pot, but the Lord was with it. You see, adversity still come to the believer. Your child can be born mentally retarded, wheelchair, blind, defect. That happens to believers, yeah, y'all. And don't think it's strange when it happened to you. It can happen. It don't mean that you sinned or something. But God is not partial with adversity. Even his children still got to walk through some tough times. But the difference is, he's going to be with you even until death. All right? All right? 1 Peter 5:9 says, stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. No adversity you're going through. Losing a job, losing a child, marriage busted, finance busted. Everything you're going to do, they got another person in here probably going through the same thing. And somebody that went through it, overcame it by the blood of the Lamb, now it's a word of their testimony. You understand? Look, nothing that you're going through, you're not by yourself. But God is not partial in adversity. Let's move along. Areas where Christians show respect or purse. Boy, I've been waiting to get here. So let's talk about it. Got a little while left. All right. James 2:2. He says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. He said, don't have the faith like that, man. You can't be a Christian and showing favoritism and partiality. And you know why? Well, why, Brother Park? I just showed you. The whole first part of the song, I showed you how God is completely impartial. That's hypocrisy, man. That's completely against the nature of God. That's one of his incommunicable attributes. He impartial. We don't talk about that one, though. God is impartial. And for us to be partial and showing favoritism and respect to a person, he said, that's not nothing like our Father, y'all. We're supposed to be being conformed to his image. He said, don't do it. And you know, James knew Jesus. That was his brother. He know what it looked like, the real deal. He done seen it lived out. You understand? He says, do not have respect to a person. Places I want to show y'all that we have respect of persons. The first place is in our families, y'all. Somebody say families. Job chapter 13:10. He will surely reprove or rebuke you if you secretly accept persons. He said, God going to for sure rebuke you if you're showing respect of a person. And you're doing it secretly on the down low. That's what Job said. And so here it is. I want to first talk to you about a little brother named Isaac. Genesis 25:28. Isaac showed favoritism, y'all. Y'all know Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? Isaac showed favoritism. The Bible says Isaac loved who? Esau. Now it says because. Y'all, that don't even matter. He loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebecca, what did it say? She loved who? Now we got two parents, y'all. Both children for both of them. Twin boys. One loved one and one loved the other. Oh, goodness. About to get in y'all business, man. Now listen, y'all. This is all throughout the scripture. Genesis 27:5-6. This is when, even though God said that the older gonna serve the younger, Isaac is about to bless Esau anyway instead of Jacob. And Rebekah heard when he told Esau, go give me some food to eat so I could bless you, even though it's supposed to be for Jacob. But I don't care that God says for Jacob, you my favorite. Who respect the person. And Rebekah heard. Now, you know, we just read Rebekah love who? All right. Now, Rebekah heard. And when Isaac spoke to Esau, what did it say? His son. They don't say they son. That's something, huh? Got a Bible say that. He spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and go to bring it. Next verse. But look, and Rebekah spoke unto Jacob, her son. Oh, that's something, huh? Boy, not even claiming them children. Look at that. But the Bible put it like that on purpose, y'all. It's showing us alluding to the respect of a person. She spoke to him, her son. Oh, go, look, we about to steal the bird right. Look, do what I tell you. Do you have a favorite child? Oh! Don't say nothing. Them children will tell you, boy. Now listen, let me show y'all something. I just got to get this out right quick because to defend my parents. No, I'm just being real because we got to cut it right. The Bible said a wise son makes a glad father. And God in Genesis 4:7, he had two sons of Adam, Abel and Cain. Cain gave an acceptable offering. Abel gave an acceptable offering. Cain did. God told Cain, what you sad for? If you do right, you're going to be accepted too. But the father didn't accept him because of his wicked behavior. Now, kids, I'm not talking about they blessing your brother or sister with stuff because a wise son make a glad father and they more faithful with little than you know. And you cutting up being wicked. I ain't talking about that. That's not favoritism. That's just what a man sow he going to reap, man. You know what I'm saying? If your brother more righteous than you, then that's something else. That's a Cain and Abel situation. But this right here, this is favoritism. In every household, somebody probably got a favorite child. You probably got a favorite child. People grow up seeing it. We always had a sibling that didn't get as much whippings. I'm thinking about them right now. They always had one who didn't get the whippings. And I ain't talking about because they was good. They was letting them slide, man. And you think you got that picture, look, in your face right now. And listen, just want to let you know, parents, it's sin, yes. It's sin. The Bible says our God is impartial, and he wants his people to be impartial. Man. Yeah, I'm serious, man. Look, let me show you in the scripture. You know what this causes in a household, in a family? You know what this do? Man, I'm trying. Let me show you. Genesis 29:30. Now, since Isaac was respected a person, Jacob grew up being the same way. Jacob grew up going to be like my dad. Look what it says about Jacob. So Jacob, where we at? Okay. And it says, and he loved her. And he loved her also more than who? Leah. Now, he had two wives. That was a problem right there, correct? But he loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. Favoritism with his wives. I just had to show y'all that because I'm setting it up for what I'm about to show you. Genesis 33:2. Now, y'all, they had children, y'all. Leah had all kind of children for Jacob. Rachel had Joseph and Benjamin. Y'all see where I'm going? But now, look, Esau want to kill Jacob, right? And he about to go back. He know his brother want to kill him. He said, I'm about to go introduce myself to him. He said, now, check it out, y'all. He put the handmaidens and their children foremost. He had children with Leah, her handmaiden, Rachel and her handmaiden. And so he put the handmaidens and their children first. Favoritism. Y'all go ahead first. If Esau kill somebody, you taking them out. Man, I'm trying to show you this is the Bible. Look, and Leah and her children after. Now, Leah done had Judah, Simeon, Levi. She done had all the soldiers. You understand? Leah and her children first. Go ahead, Judah, Levi, go with your mama. Look. And Rachel and Joseph hindermost. That's it. He put them last. Boy, what you think that do when the brother see that? How you think the handmaidens and their children say, why are we all the way up in the front? They way back down. Man, come on, man. You know the person they put on the front line in the army. That's not the one they care about. That's not the one they care about. It ain't their favorite. Ain't their favorite. He threw them in the front, y'all. All right, he going to take them out, take them out. There's six of them with Leah. So by the time he killed them, Joseph and... Oh. Now his brothers grew up like that, man. Now you see, y'all didn't know that. You see, y'all didn't know the backstory. All y'all know is Joseph, his quarter man of colors. Oh, they hating on... Y'all see where it began at, huh? Started all the way with his dad, at Isaac and Jacob. Now look, let's keep going. Genesis 37, 3 through 4. Now look what it said. It's obvious now. Now the scripture makes sense. Now Israel, which is Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children. I think that's obvious, huh? I think we figured that out, Daddy, when you threw him in the back and had us in the front with the spears. He loved him more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. It don't even matter, man. Why? And he made him a quarter man of colors. It was showing that he would be the heir of the family, the coat. Reuben had slept with his daddy's wife, so that canceled him out. So, you know, the brothers wasn't righteous now. But is it because of the favoritism? Or were they just like that anyway? We gonna never know. So, let's keep looking, y'all. Let's keep looking. Verse 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now, y'all, it's real life right here. Man, they got that favorite child. Boy, look, don't get along with none of their siblings. And then the parent talking about, I don't know why they don't like such and such. Are you showing favoritism to? Don't answer just yet, because the first thing you're going to say, oh, no. Just think about it and pray about it tonight. And just see if maybe I'm respecting their purse. Now, I'm serious, man. I'm serious. This is what respect the person do. When your favorite child do something small, you magnify it, boy. Oh, OB's on the report card. We going out of town. Now, the child that ain't your favorite, boy, make all A's. Oh, yeah, that's good. Oh, yeah, when the one that ain't your favorite do something good, you hurry up and get off it quick. Don't want to talk about it. But when your favorite do something, boy, you're talking about that thing to the rapture. Boy, oh, ain't it? They got to take you up. You've been talking about that. Man, I'm telling you, man, and look, them children see that, man. Them boy been growing up with Joseph as the favorite all their life. Their life is insignificant compared to his. Y'all could die, I love Joseph. Why else you think they going to hate him, man? They never hated him for nothing, though. And the parents, if you're doing this, you are causing the problem in your family. You've been praying, Lord, show me what's going on with my household. Hit it. Hit it. Stop. Stop. Now, y'all, was it Joseph's fault that they were showing him favor? No. It wasn't his fault. So we're going to talk about it. It happened with Joseph, guys, in Genesis 48. Jacob is about to die, and he's about to bless his sons, y'all. Genesis 48, you can go to verse 14. Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Jacob now, the one who he got that favoritism, he about to bless him. They would customarily bless the older son with the right-hand man, and bless the younger son with the left, the lesser blessing. So look what happened. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hand withly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. Because Joseph brought Manasseh to his right hand, and he brought Ephraim to his left. But Jacob hit it like that, crossover. He put his hand on the younger, Ephraim, and then on Manasseh. Let's keep reading. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my father Abraham, Isaac did walk, and God which fed all my life longer to this day. Keep going. Keep going. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. Joseph said, man, hold up, man. This is the one, Dad. Look. And he held up his father's hand. Give me your hand, Dad. That ain't it. He ain't the one. He ain't my favorite. To remove it from Ephraim's head and put it on Manasseh. No, Dad, it is the firstborn. Keep going. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand on his head. Keep going. Now, keep in mind, you know, they said the younger was going to serve the elder with Jacob and Esau already. So Jacob knows what's up. And his father refused and said, I know it. I know, my son. I know. He also shall be a great people. And he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of all nations. You know, Israel and Ephraim became a synonym for Israel. The one that he blessed really did become greater. Now look, if you keep showing this favoritism, I'm showing you a pattern. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph is going to trickle down to generations, man. You got to cut it off now. Got to cut it off now, man. I didn't show you this for nothing. Now listen, it's funny how the one man favor, not always the same one God favor, no. Well, let me show you Psalm 78, 67 through 68. Now everybody know Joseph was Jacob's favorite. We just read that, right? Moreover, it's talking about God now, not man. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim. Keep going. But chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. So man's favorite could be different from God's favorite. Not favorite, but God's choosing. Yeah. You could choose somebody and that not be the one who God said that's what it is. Yeah. Jacob showed Joseph favoritism all his life. But God said the Messiah coming through Judah, man. Huh? Yeah, that's right. For God is impartial. He is impartial. He impartial, man. God don't play that, man. Man do that. If you are the brother or the sister and they're showing favoritism to, I recommend you tell your parents, stop showing me favoritism. Look what you're doing to my brothers and my sisters. Tell them. Tell them and let them know. It's not right. Show them the scripture. David did this, y'all. 1 Samuel 16:6. Well, he went through this is what I'm saying. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab. This is when Samuel went to David's father's house to anoint the king. Now, David's daddy, Jesse, brought all his sons out except David. I mean, it's straight up favoritism. He said, bring me all your sons. Okay. Yeah, this all of them. David don't need to come. He ain't about nothing. He ain't my favorite. He left him look handling the sheep. Left the brother. So look, Samuel said, when he saw Eliab, he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Judging on outward appearance, partiality, respect to a person. He going off of his externals saying, oh yeah, this got to be who the Lord with because of how he looked. Nah, man. Surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Do you judge people on how they look? Oh, that must be the man of God. Look, he got the collar. Oh, he got the philanthropy. He got the garment. Oh, yeah, that's the holy man. Because he got the crown. Because he got the suit. Man, that don't mean nothing. The Bible say the devil disguised himself as an angel of light. Oh, yeah, man, that the devil not coming how you think he coming. He coming just the way you expect him not to come. Man, you can't go off outward appearance. That's respect of a person. Oh, he got tattoos. He can't be no man of God. Why not? Oh, he got some braids, some dreads. He can't be a man of God. Why not? Boy, probably living more righteous than you with the suit on, man. Man, I'm serious, man. That don't mean nothing all because of the externals. And look what God tells Samuel now. Because listen, everybody do this here to a certain extent, yeah, man. Everybody. Okay, who he is? It's Samuel. The Bible says none of his words dropped to the ground. Everything he prophesied happened. And he caught slipping. Look,
And God said, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on his height, or his stature, because I have refused him. He ain't who I chose. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart, man. Where your other son at, man? And so they called David, they anointed him king. But look, you see the favoritism there. But did you see David go off on his brothers? Did you see David go off on his dad? They hating on him all throughout the scripture. Did you see him go off, people? No. Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good, man. Trust in the Lord and do good. You ain't got to trip on that, no, man. You ain't got to trip on that. If your mama or daddy done favored all your brothers and sisters your whole life, man, I done talked to people, man. This mess people up, yeah, man. The inheritance come, they don't leave them nothing. It's all favoritism the whole life. But you don't have to worry about that. The Bible said the Lord is a father to the fatherless, a mother to the mothers. When father and mother forsake you and show favoritism, the Lord going to take you up, man. He said trust in him and just keep doing good. Keep living for the Lord. Vengeance is mine. You don't need to go try to reward them by not talking to them. Try to take vengeance on. Man, still love them. Love on your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Pray for those that despitefully usually show favoritism against you. Pray for them. Don't trip. Trust in the Lord and do good. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. You see this in the household also with children and husbands and wives. The Bible says that the husband and wife are supposed to become one. But if you favor the children over your spouse, that's another problem altogether. Man, now listen, I'm not talking about they a child. They need you to hold their neck up to feed them. Why you ain't feed me? No, I ain't talking about that. I ain't talking about that. That's a child, man. Come on, man. Why you ain't helping me put my clothes on? No, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about some real type, like, man, people say, well, he's just a child. Man, that boy's 17. You still ironing all his clothes. You still cooking his meal. That boy come home from school, you got his snack, you got his home-cooked meal waiting for him when he come home from school. Husband get off of all day of work, paying all the bills up in there. He ain't got nothing to eat. You don't think that man see that? Boy, that boy, if he ain't telling you, I'm going to tell you for him. Because they telling me, man. Listen, man. You need to come on, man. You're showing favoritism. That's not right. That's sin, man. That's sin. The Bible never commanded you to become one with your child. He said be one with your husband. Because your child, when he get married or when she get married, they leaving you for that man or that woman. Now what you going to do? Now what you going to do? You've been sinning your whole life, man. And you wonder, well, I don't know why me and my husband not one like we supposed to. Got a big 22-year-old in the middle, y'all. Who you showing all your favoritism to? Whole grown boy, man, boy driving everything, man. You're doing everything for him and your husband ain't getting no attention. Man, look, that's respect to a person, man. Man, I'm serious. You're favoring the child over your husband. That's out of order. And I ain't saying that to be mean, no, man. I love you. And I want your marriage to work. And I want it to glorify God. It's not going to glorify God if you don't do it God's way, guys. Okay? Yeah. This is my Bible and I believe what it says, okay? All right, all right, all right. Let's see. Man, listen. I'm telling you, man, people show respect to a person in business. You know what I'm saying? The Bible saying first in Ephesians 6:9, ye masters, do the things unto them, forbearing, threatening, don't threaten, knowing that your master also is in heaven, and neither is there respect to a person with him. When you're on the job, bosses be showing respect to a person, man. They should respect their person. Favoritism. Somebody say straight up, yeah, man. Boy, you working there 20 years. Never miss one day. That other brother come over there. Yeah, we want you to train him. That position that we denied you for no reason at all, train him because he got the position, even though you know how to do it already, been here 20 years. We're going to let him get it because, yeah, that's the boss son-in-law. Well, he's sleeping with the daughter. Something. He know them. So we're going to let him get your job. Now, you show him how to do it now. Man, that don't be happening. Man, that's respect to a person on the job. Man, them boys do that. Man, that's hard. That's heartbreaking, man. Here they doing people, man. They fire you even though you work better than him because he knows somebody. Respect to a person. That boy just got here last Monday, fired you from 20 years. Huh? Man, respect to a person. Man, listen. And don't, man, boy. They do stuff, it just ain't right, man. It just ain't right. Respect the person on the job, man. Up and down, man. I'm trying to tell you, man. Hold on, I got it in my notes. They give the person a promotion not because they're a better worker, y'all, but because of straight up favoritism. They do this all for race, ethnicity. Man, I'm trying to tell you, man. Look, a brother told me, look what happened. Brother was to his job. It was a brother. He made a mistake. They say, oh, you made a mistake, you're fired. Caucasian brother come right behind. Made the exact same mistake. Oh, you made a mistake? We're going to send you to get some training paid, and it's all good. Man, I'm trying to tell you, that make it right. Man, that's sin, man. It's partiality. That's respect of a person. Well, yeah, that's just how it is, Brother Parker. We all know that. Yeah, but it's still sin. And don't come call yourself a Christian and you're living like this habitually, man. You need to repent. You need to repent, man. Oh, no, man, that's not of God. It's not of God, man. It's not of God. In the church. We're going to have to part two this one, man. I got to go. In the church, man. I'm going to just give y'all a little preview. Next time on. In the church, we show partiality, y'all. We show partiality in the church. In the book of James, chapter 1 through 11, it says in verse 9, if you have respect of persons, James chapter 2, verse 9, you commit sin and are convicted of the law as a transgressor. It's sin, man. It don't get no clearer than that. He gave an analogy about a rich man coming in the church. Bought dressed nice, got gold, and a poor man come in. They get a rich man a good seat, poor man, go sit on the ground. He said, had not God chose the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Because you see, people who got money don't really have to use no faith now. They ain't got to believe God for nothing, man. They got money, man. I don't need to trust and hope in the Lord. Look, I got that. But he says the people who poor, who don't have a bunch of money all the time. He said, that's the ones who God chose to be rich in faith. The one who got to rely on the Lord. How I'm going to pay this light bill? How I'm going to fix this car? Ball tires. Look, you got to rely on the Lord, man. You be exercising your faith a lot. You swollen in the spirit. Them boys who got money, them boys scrawny in the spirit, man. They ain't been exercising no faith. But he said God chose the poor of the world to be rich in faith. In the church, it should not be any special favoritism towards people who have money as opposed to people who don't know. James even goes so far to say, is it the poor who dragging you in the court? He says the rich people blaspheming the name of the Lord at the universities and the cottage. It's the people with money banding God in this, take his name off of that. He said the poor people in the projects or in the hood or who ain't got money in the trailer park, they not doing that. He said it's the rich that's blaspheming the name of the Lord, and that's who you show favoritism to in the church. God don't need nobody money, man. He said your money perish with thee, man. You can't buy nothing up in here with money. Can't buy no position. Can't buy. No matter how much you make in the house of God, God ain't concerned with that. He don't need nothing. In churches who flock towards people who have businesses and this and they treat them special and hurry up and make them a minister or this or that because they got money. He said you're out of order, man. And he said you don't know him. He said you don't know him. He said you're showing partiality and favoritism. He said it's not right. 1 Timothy 5:21. 5:22. You go to 5:22. He said, do nothing without partiality, Timothy. But look what he says. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of men's sin. Keep thyself pure. Remember, the sins of some people are obvious, leading them to certain judgment. But there are others whose sins will not be revealed until later. Listen, man. It don't matter how much money they're making. You don't even know if they're really living right. You just know they got a good job, so now you want to make them associate pastor. What? Man, that's not right, man. That's not right, man. God says it's sin. And you don't trust the Lord to be your provider because you figure he could do something for your God, Kate. I thought Jehovah Jireh was your provider. Oh, yeah, man, y'all know what I'm talking about, man. It's going on all around the world. You understand? Jesus said this. Y'all heard the story of the widow's mite? Them brothers, they going in the church. Offering come around, go dude, them boy dropping nothing but the money, gold, stacks, everything. The widow come through, what she dropping? She dropping two mites, she dropping her mite. Jesus say, hey, look, the Lord, she done gave more than all of them. So to the money churches and the churches who favor people who got money, Would you go after the widow? Because she really gave more. It's like this. If a brother make $300,000 in 1 year, and at the end he get his tithing statement back, he gave $20,000. Another brother made $24,000. That's it. Now, the other brother made $300,000. He gave $20,000. That brother made $24,000 for the whole year. $24,000. And he gave $5,000 at the end of the year. Now, to you, you're going to say, oh, he gave $20,000. But this brother gave $5,000 is more than 10% of $24,000. Yeah, y'all. Now, but now look, but look. But $20,000 is not even 10% of $300,000. So who really giving more? In God's eyes. I know the numbers, they trick you. But in God's eyes, who really giving more? Man, look. We got to be like the Lord, man. Man, I was talking to a brother. You know people who got money, they don't even tell them about their sin in certain churches? I'm not going to preach on that because my ball over here, Rockefeller, he giving. If I preach on that, he gonna leave. And that's the issue. Y'all see how I pass to get down. Pastor don't care, man. Go, you just whatever, man. Look, you offend you, man. That's on you. Oh, yeah, y'all know he tell you. You can go. And look, that's how I like it, man. All right, Pat. But it's just to say, there was a church, man, in the city. They had a little get together. And they said, all the single brothers get on the left side. Brother, you know, and all the single women get on the right side. So a brother got on the side with all the ladies. He was a homosexual, practicing homosexual. He got on all the side with the ladies. And nobody said nothing. No, don't say nothing. His relative gives. Oh, yeah, man. That brother, needless to say, that was his last time over there. He told me, you know, but it's just to say. What you call that? Favoritism, partiality. I'm not going to preach that because God is not my God. Money is my God. And you can't love money more than God. You can have one master. You're going to love one or neglect the other. You can't serve God and money. You're going to have to choose this day who you're going to serve. Over here, y'all know what it's about. Y'all, I got to stop. We're just going to talk about partiality in race. Partiality in who y'all witness to. And we was going to talk about God's prerogative. Let me say this in closing. Because some of y'all are real theologically sound. Y'all say, well, what about Israel? God ain't got no favors. What about Israel? And you write tags. Turn to Deuteronomy 7:7 for me, sound boot. There's a doctrine called God's prerogative. Y'all know that song they used to have, it's my prerogative, I can do what I want to do. But look, God got his own prerogative. The Bible says God is sovereign, he righteous in all his ways, holy in all his works. And so what he pleased, he does. Deuteronomy 7 says, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people, but simply because the Lord loves you. Turn to Ezekiel 36:22. God didn't choose Israel because they were better than. He didn't say, you know, it's because you're better than. He said, it's because I chose to place my love upon you. Ezekiel 36:22 says, therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel. You see, I'm not saving you for your sake, but for my holy name's sake, which you profane among the heathen, whether you went. So God didn't say, I'm saving you and I'm blessing you and I'm making you my elect people. Y'all my chosen nation, my firstborn, because you're better than. I just chose by my sovereign will, my prerogative, to place my love upon. It's like a whole prison full of people on death row. And the warden come out and say, we're going to let one of y'all out. Is that okay? Yeah, that's fine. Let one of us out. And he choose that brother right there and not you. Is he wrong? No. Y'all all deserve hell. Y'all all deserve death. But by his prerogative, the prerogative of his grace, he chose Israel. Not because they better than, not because we better than, but because it's God's prerogative. The Bible said it like this. He told Moses,
I have mercy on whom I have mercy. And who are you to question God, oh man? So, in closing, if you're not saved tonight and you've been showing favoritism, you can be saved and you can come up out of that. Or if just any of them other sins convict you, man, the Lord is, look, he's here and he's willing to forgive no matter what you've done. I just showed you God is not a respected person. He saved me and I didn't even want to get saved. So you know he's going to save you. He said, any that come to me, I will not turn away none. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Christ, he shall be saved. But you got to be willing to turn away from your sin. Count the cost, man. Count the cost. You don't have to come up here. We just going to ask. There's no special prayer that's going to actually save you. But when you ask him and you mean it from your heart, he's going to save you and transform you. And you'll never be the same. Change your desires. He's going to slowly start to deliver you from sin. You're going to have a desire to pray, a desire to read the word. If you see no change, no desire switch, no fruit, then nothing took place tonight for you. You're going to have to keep asking until you really mean it. And when you really mean it, he's going to do it for you because he know the heart. All those who want to be saved, pray with me. Say, Lord.